Welcome to Around the Cooler, the fantasy football podcast with your hosts, Brady Connors, Frankie Morales, and Daniel Acosta.
You know what we should do one time, dude?
What's up?
Is just have the intro play, but have the guitar part keep playing for like...
Just keep going.
30 minutes, dude.
That'd just be a purely so funny. Instrumental episode.
Yeah, everyone's like, where the hell are the guys, dude?
For 40 minutes.
Yeah. They're all like, thank you for listening. Later.
Can you play for that long?
I could probably play for that long.
The caption of the episode is just interlude.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, dude. That'd be hilarious.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Around the Cooler, the fantasy football podcast. I'm your boy, Sweet D. I'm here with my boy, Frank.
What up?
And Brady Bear. What's up, bro?
What up, dude?
You keep yawning, dude. You a little tired or what?
Yeah, I'm ready for this night juice to crack these bad boys, dude.
Oh, you're going to like this, bro.
I need a second win here.
Please tell me one of these is a Four Loko. We've got...
Frank brought some brown baggers today.
Are we going to open them
that
now?
That they're hidden.
No, I'm just touching them. I'm just touching it. But one day we're going to start recording us, like record this podcast.
Right.
You know, so you'll get to see our faces and you actually get to see that we do really do drink beer rip shots while we're recording this. So today we got a couple brown baggers. I feel like we stepped our beer game up this season.
So here's the thing.
Well,
I don't know,
man. We haven't opened the box yet.
Yeah. You don't know what's in there.
Yeah,
but
we're back to square one.
I was at a store and I was like, how can I mix this up?
You know? Gas station. Okay. Very good.
So I was just putting them in brown bags and it's like a Christmas gift, baby.
Nice.
I can't wait.
Did you guys finish the 3-hour roast of Tom Brady?
I did.
When you said shots, that reminded me of Gronk when he spiked the shot glass.
Apparently, some lady in the front row got hurt.
Yeah, I heard
of course
about that,
she
too.
Did, dude.
She had,
yeah,
like, glass hanging from her face.
Of course she did.
That guy was so just...
He's out there, man.
He was ripped,
so
dude.
Out there, dude. Like, when he was just going on and on about, like, Brady's dick going from Florida to the Carolinas and
yeah, dude.
Yeah, Edelman.
He was definitely one of the worst of the athletes. I thought Bledsoe was one of the best of
Randy
the athletes.
Was the worst.
Randy was pretty bad. I thought Edelman did pretty good too for the athletes.
I thought Edelman sucked.
I liked Edelman, dude.
I thought Edelman was all right too.
I thought it was very corny and Kevin Hart ripped them immediately for it. And he's like, this fucking dick jokes, they never change. Fucking white boys.
Yeah.
That's how it was like. Generic, dude.
Another white boy.
Like, Drew Bledsoe was good.
Bledsoe was good. I thought Belichick was good.
Belichick was really good because of his delivery style, because he's so dry.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Apparently, he should be a comedian, dude.
Apparently, he actually is funny.
Yeah.
I would believe that.
Yeah. I thought Tom was terrible.
Tom
Brady was terrible.
Okay. You could tell a lot of his shit was written for him.
I mean, it was
all
written.
Yeah.
All for them, dude.
Right. But, like, some of them could play it off better than the others, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Like Bledsoe. I thought Bledsoe probably did the best at it.
Who's the guy, the Tom or Tim, the guy with the belt buckle? I've never heard him before. The might be gay.
Buckle. Oh, the one who
are you talking about
called
comedian?
Up in the middle?
Yes,
who was in the middle and then walked up to the stage,
that's
right?
That's Hinchcliffe, bro.
He's the one that I said it was the best.
Sniper, dude.
He
just
was the best.
Lined up all in a row. Yeah. Pop, pop, pop,
literally.
Pop.
And walked
when he
by,
dropped,
fuck you, fuck you, you're cool.
When he dropped that line about Gronk writing Santa Christmas cards, dude, I was like, this is going to get bad real quick, dude.
No, I thought the best one is when he made fun of the black lesbian and was like, when you about to eat pussy and you were like,
oh, hell no. That was a great joke.
That was
dude.
Hilarious.
And then
dude.
Kevin Hart's like, we can't. I got nothing. We'll get him.
We'll get him in a couple days.
CMJ, we're gonna sit on this. We're gonna get him back in a couple days.
His Bert joke was hilarious too, bro.
Yep.
The Burger King.
Every one of those, dude.
Liver King.
Yep.
Rodney King.
I think that's when all the comedians themselves like fell over laughing.
Yeah.
Nikki Glaser was good.
I was just gonna say. I told
Nikki
you guys
really
off
good.
The pod. I thought Nikki was a phenomenal, dude. I think she had the best set of the night, dude.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And timing.
Yeah,
was he
was
the
great.
One that went to her and like, Nikki, you killed it. Where the fuck has this been your whole career?
Yeah, yeah. It's true though, man. Like, you know, I mean, she's known for like the roasting and all that. So, but she's never had a set, at least in my eyes, that good, dude.
Yeah.
She was phenomenal.
I thought she killed
it. Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fucking long though, dude.
Long as dick.
I was like trying to stay awake.
Yeah. Good laughs all around.
Very good laughs.
I even thought Kevin Hart did a good. I'm not a Kevin Hart fan. I thought he did a pretty good job.
He's good, dude.
Yeah,
he's solid.
I especially liked his "fuck you, Tom." Every
yeah.
like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
something you, we would do.
Yep.
Yeah. Or
still do
that. We still do to each
it's
other.
It's a nice little filler, dude. When he yeah. got nothing to say. Well, fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
Well, fuck good. You, Brian. Anyways,
that's always a good one. Staple in my house.
You know what else is laughable? That this has made the news for us. Texans have traded for Rams receiver Ben Scourneck.
I thought we were going to scrap that.
No, we had to put something up here because it's just real quiet right now.
So, yeah, it's been pretty quiet on the, as far as the NFL movement front. To me, probably what, the receiver 4, receiver 5. This seems like a special teams piece, but he got some playing time
yeah,
the past couple years.
He's a decent wideout, dude. He, yeah. he makes for a good number 3 on like
good
a team.
Gym rat.
That means a good I read that last year his usage from the year prior went from like 71% he was on the field to 19%.
You know where he went to school, Frank?
Do not.
You know?
No.
He went to Notre Dame.
I should have guessed.
Typical
dude.
White receiver, dude.
Just yep. like
who was that one?
I know what you're thinking, and I'm going to say
it
right
player?
Now. Jeff Samardzija.
Thank you, dude. Jeff Samardzija, bro.
Nice, dude.
Those Jews love Notre Dame, dude.
As soon as you said white guy, as soon as you said Notre Dame, bro, he's the first person I thought of. Yeah. I'm like, because he looks God. Just like Jeff Samardzija.
Yeah,
dude.
I can't remember. He chose baseball, right?
He chose baseball.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if he chose baseball or football. Which, he was pretty good baseball pitcher for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was good.
He was also a great wideout Notre Dame.
Good wide receiver.
Yeah. Mm.
Speaking of wide receiver, DJ Chark. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. To the Chargers.
Captain. I just got that, dude.
You just got the joke.
Yeah. Nice. As a newish dad.
Yes. Nice. Like there's a full blown song, dude.
Yeah.
Like it's yeah. Anyways.
I heard a Canadian version not too long ago. It's way different and I actually think it's better. I'll show it to you.
Send
later.
It to me.
Yeah, yeah. I'll let you listen, have the boys listen to it. Let me know.
DJ Chark to the Chargers. This is kind of interesting. He's a pretty decent vet. You know, never a top-tier fantasy player.
Of course not.
Great for best ball because he'll go 2 for 20 for multiple games, and the next you know, it's 3 for 140 and 2 touchdowns.
Right.
He's a lotto ticket, as Frank likes to say.
He's a lotto ticket.
Mr. Lotto Stud.
And we're going to get into him a little bit later, but, like, does he bump QJ down the roster?
If anything, I think this is one of those Jim Hart. Is it Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah.
It's Jim.
God, one of these days I'll get it right. It's one of those Jim Harbaugh moves. He brings him in. It's a vet. He's going to come in, provide leadership to a room that desperately needs it, to say the least.
I think he honestly is your number one, bro.
Yeah.
The rest of the wide receivers
in
that room.
He steps in right away. Right away, dude.
Yeah.
So
agreed. Agreed.
Like who else is there?
Deep
ball guy. Deep ball guy.
Just based on veteran presence, he's going to be the one, but I think the one is going to be Ladd.
I'm glad we signed him over MBS.
Oh, God.
Because they kind of play a similar role.
They do, but I think DJ Chark is slightly a better, more complete receiver.
I agree. All right, let's get
into still,
it's
shit science. Shit signing. I'm not going to talk it up.
Depth filler. Crack 'em. So, real quick, I'm excited to get into this paper bag.
Well, should we do the paper bag first?
I'm kind of not. I'm a little scared. I'm not going to lie.
Should we do the paper bag before we crack them? Because you got to get in the crack them, then crack them.
Right.
I want to.
So let's open the bag.
I'm going to start. Okay. I'm going to start with this. I was like, I want to do something different. And every time it's my beer, my time to bring a beer from now on, it's going to be like this. So this time it could be all good beers. It could be all shit beers. There could be 2 shitty ones and 1 good one. Or there could be 1 shitty one and 2 good ones.
I'm going to laugh when this is like a 24-ounce Pepsi, dude. Nice.
Or it could be all water. Well,
let's
dude,
go.
You know? Nice. The point is, I wanted to mix it up a little bit and just have fun with it. So,
like, this is like the Kraken before the Kraken.
Yeah.
All right.
I like it.
The big reveal.
Open them up, boys.
It's a logo, dude.
Oh, is this a Colt 45, dude?
Oh.
Okay.
Frank came in.
I went
came
easy
through
this
clutch,
time.
Dude.
Yeah. I got... Got us a little Society Brewing Company, The Pupil, one of my absolute favorites. But next time, boys,
this is a.
It could be all 4 Locos.
This is. Oh God.
I'm just saying.
No,
this is
a
lava
mango.
This was also a you and I special at Fast Times, Frank.
Oh, dude, that's why I wasn't sure if I'm sure you've had it, D. But
probably
it's one of my absolute. This is like probably my second favorite IPA of all time.
Hell
this
yeah,
this is
dude.
A great
Thanks.
IPA, dude. Great IPA. Good choice, Society man.
Brewing. Oh, yeah. Shout out to you guys and the people. I know you're listening.
7.5. I thought it was like 7.
Oh, no, dude. That's why it only takes 2.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck yeah.
A nice 19-ouncer too, baby.
Yeah, let's go. Then it's usually we drink 2 of these and we're like, man, we're feeling good enough to get a 3rd one.
Of course. Should we just get progressively heavier every episode?
Okay, so like I almost started drinking wine.
I'll get spaced up.
I almost got like a dark beer, but I was like, nah, it's a little too summery for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe
good
during
call.
The winter. I'll yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like it.
You got to play it to the seasons, brother.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think we crack this beautiful beer to the NHL playoffs.
Okay. Switching it up.
In my opinion, arguably one of the most underrated postseasons in all of sports.
I agree with you because I'm not a hockey fan, but I will watch the fucking playoffs.
Yeah,
it's good.
It's like I don't see a lot of like sports where like once they hit the playoffs, like you could physically see the next gear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And you definitely see that in hockey. And if you're not following, there's a little bit of an unlikely rivalry growing. And that's between the Boston Bruins and the Florida Panthers.
Fuck Boston.
Where are the Florida Panthers located? Miami?
Gainesville. Florida.
But Miami?
No. Gainesville. I think it's literally just somewhere in Florida.
Really?
Yeah. Some random place. I'm going to look it up, dude. Probably on the outskirts of Tampa Bay. No, because Tampa Bay's there. So
I feel like
it'd
be like Jacksonville. Let me look this
up. That's what I was like.
Yeah.
Probably Gainesville.
Yeah, it's
shitty,
like Sunnydale, Florida. Anyways, so a little bit of a rivalry brewing. So the Panthers knocked out the Bruins last season, and the Bruins had this historic season where basically they had the best regular season ever, mm-hmm. and then they got bounced in the first round of the playoffs. They blew a 3-1 lead to this team.
That happens often in hockey, it seems like.
And even though the series is split, neither of the games have been very close. Boston blew them out game 1 this year,
sure.
and then the Panthers just fucking laid it on game 2. But that series is getting so physical.
Yeah, you're right, dude. Sunrise, Florida.
I was close. Sunnydale.
I will say, though, it says here that it's just west of Fort Lauderdale and just north of Miami. So I was kind of close. But still, yeah, a no-name place in Florida. Nice, bro. Good call.
So this series is getting very physical, very chippy. You don't really see a lot of fights in the postseason. Like, there's just a sense of, like, hey, this is going to be a little bit more of a gentleman's game. Like, there's just too much at stake to risk somebody getting suspended or missing any minutes. But yesterday, you had 2 superstars of the game, David Pastrnak and Matthew Tkachuk, start throwing hands. And that just told me how intense that series was. And if you haven't seen the fight, go look it up, because fucking Tkachuk literally punches this guy so hard, Pastrnak's fucking lid flies off of his head, dude.
Let's go.
And on top of that, like, okay, you don't see a lot of fights in the playoffs. You don't see 2 superstars fight.
Sure.
So you would think the coaches would be like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Blah, blah, blah. Both coaches for both teams were like, that was fucking amazing. We need fucking more of that shit. So, and like, I don't know. I love it. I watch hockey. But to me, like, that series is going to another level. Like, that's what the NHL postseason's all about. Just kind of finding an extra gear and just... Cheers to a fucking sport where you guys could try to knock each other's teeth
murder
out.
Murder each other, dude.
And your coaches are like, yeah, hit them harder next time.
Yeah, that's pretty rad.
Crack them.
All on murder weapons, dude, on their feet.
Yeah.
Skates. Imagine if one of those
dude, that guy got his knife.
Yeah, dude. The goalie from like years ago.
No, this happened.
This happened recently?
Yeah, in Europe. And now that guy might get charged for murder.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
It was a big deal because the guy was like a former NHLer and he was just playing in Europe.
Just fucking people up in Europe?
No, the guy that got killed.
Oh,
wow.
Shit.
Yeah. And then like the guy that hit his neck was like this dirty player.
Damn.
So they're like, oh, yo, he's a track record of like playing really dirty. So they're like, he's under investigation to see if it was intentional or not.
Oh,
that's crazy.
Man.
I think it was.
That's gnarly.
Sadly. But back to the NFL. So,
how is the beer, though?
It's delicious, man.
Delicious.
You like it?
Very good.
It's not as good in a can, obviously.
It's not. It's
but
not.
Still delicious, nonetheless.
I'm excited because there's a couple extra ounces to this bad boy.
You got
to
find one on Tapti, and it's like exquisite.
It's the
it's
only
amazing,
way I
can dude. Put it.
It's real good. I think, that's Space Dust. I was going to say, I thought Rosati's had it, but.
Space Dust is popular.
Yeah.
No. Barnick doesn't Doesn't B and D?
Bar Next Door does have it. Yeah, they do.
They have this? Pupil. Yeah. On nice. Tap.
Okay.
On tap. Yeah.
Sounds like we're going.
Real good.
So we're gonna start getting into the off season. We kind of, when we fired this up for season two, free agency just happened, and we kind of held off to talking about all the free agency moves.
Yes.
Because what we're gonna do this year is we're gonna dive into each team, division by division, starting with the AFC West tonight, and the
boo.
The Super Bowl winners and the first team that we're going to talk about are the Kansas City Chiefs.
Kansas City Pat Mahomes.
The Kansas City pound you in the ass, dude.
Kansas City referees, baby. Let's go.
Yep.
Not a ton of groundbreaking moves for this team. They added Carson Wentz to back up Patrick Mahomes. Irv Smith. Does anyone remember that guy?
Yeah, yep. He's a tight end from Minnesota.
He was.
No, he was with the Bengals last year.
Well, he was with the Bengals.
At one point in his career, He was with Minnesota.
Yeah. Pick a team. He was probably there.
Yeah.
Here's the shocker. They actually re-signed Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I mean, they're the only team that they were going to re-sign this guy.
But there were so many other guys out there, dude.
He's a class act, dude. They got to bring him back.
He's a class act?
Student of the game, bro. Must be student of the game. And they brought in Hollywood Brown at receiver. As far as players they lost that are fantasy relevant, or I guess offensive players, would be MVS.
Mm-hmm.
And then they drafted Xavier Worthy in the first round, speedster wide receiver, and added a tight end, Jared Wiley. So Patrick Mahomes, obviously quarterback, Carson Wentz backing him up. Mahomes last year, to his standards, kind of had a down year.
Very poor.
He finished quarterback 8 overall, and that was the worst finish of his career so far.
He made our, what was our list that we did?
Busts.
Yeah, our bust list, our, quite a bit. Last,
or what was it called?
I think it was
our
bust.
Our draft busts. Yeah.
Quite a bit. A lot of episodes he made that.
So it seems like for the most part, they've added a couple weapons per se. Do you see him finishing in the same range again? Like, you're way too early ranking. Like, do you have him above or below 8?
I have him right around the same spot, probably. I mean, nothing jumps off the page here, what they did, you know. If your biggest signing of the season is essentially
your
extending Travis
pick?
Kelce, yeah, and Xavier Worthy, that doesn't really inspire confidence in me, dude. I mean, look at who he's got, bro. Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, Rashi Rice. Who knows if that guy is going to even play this year. Sky Moore, total bust. Justin Watson. Got a bunch of no-names on here, brother. Again, the only real target he has on that team is Travis Kelce.
Who's getting older.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I really don't see. But then again, I always think to myself, it is Patty Mahomes.
Right.
And he might pull something out of his hat, dude, and finish. It wouldn't shock me if he finished top 5, but I think more realistically, you can probably expect 7, 8, 9 spot again.
The offense changed.
Yeah.
Like, they went from an aired out downfield to a lot more of a dink and dunk,
mm-hmm.
run heavy scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And the jury is out on Xavier Worthy. You know, we don't know if he's going to be a bust or not.
Yeah, that's a lazy take.
I know. And frankly, because we haven't seen him play in the NFL
just
yet.
Give you shit. Exactly.
But his issue was his hands. And there's a few receivers we can think of that came in with catching issues or hands issues, and they don't always translate.
And one of them was on that team.
And on top of it, the guy's 160 pounds soaking wet. So he's already at a slight disadvantage to being a star in this league, but his speed is the next world.
Yeah.
But speed's only going to get you so far.
I was just going to say that, dude. And it seems like size really does play a factor at the next level in the NFL, bro. If you're small and brittle, that shows real quick, bro. You usually end up getting hurt, missing games, and that speed don't do you any good when you're sitting on the bench.
Best ability is availability.
Yep.
Speaking of availability, Hollywood Brown doesn't have much of it.
Yep.
And when I first saw this, I'm like, oh, that's a nice signing. And then when I kind of looked into it, I'm like, this guy literally hasn't done shit almost his whole career. Like, he's just a name. Mm-hmm. He was often injured with the Cardinals. I think there was one spell where he's put together like 3 top 10 finishes 2 years ago, and then he broke his foot.
Yep.
And then I think there was another season where he was, I think, wide receiver 20. for the Ravens 1 year, like a year or two after he got drafted. To me, that's just an MVS replacement.
Sure.
And then looking at Rashee Rice, he emerged last season. It took him a while, but when it got to the end of the season, he actually did end up with four top 15 finishes.
Like that.
In the last six games. So he started coming on. The offense, like I said, started to evolve, and they were featuring him more and more and less of Travis Kelce. But the dude is staring down the barrel of a multi-game suspension.
Yeah.
On top of that, there's another incident that just came out. Mm-hmm. And now he's under investigation for allegedly hitting a photographer in a Dallas nightclub.
What?
Bro, yes. What is when this did guy that drop? Doing, dude? Like,
oh, a few days ago.
Oh, did. I must have missed that.
And apparently, like, he called the photographer, like, back to the nightclub. So the guy showed up, like, oh, like, this guy wants me to take pictures of him. No, I just want to punch you in the face, dude.
Oh, my God, man.
So, I mean, the kid's young. He's dumb as fuck.
Millions of dollars.
And just like that, bro, your career's gone, probably. Yeah,
probably, dude. So... he's going to miss, I would say, at least half the season for the first thing that he did.
Bro, he better get half the season. If my boy J-Mo got half the season, essentially, for gambling, dude, this guy better get at least three quarters
of
the season.
These are the instances in which, like, what should happen never happens. Yeah. So, like, he's going to get – so J-Mo gets suspended for half the season. Rashee Rice is going to get four games.
Because he's a chief.
Yeah.
Because he's a fucking chief, dude.
Yep.
So –
That's how it works, dude.
Because it's Roger Goodell's world, yep. And we're just living in it.
Yeah.
So let's say it is half the season. Where do you draft him in redraft?
That's a wide receiver one. The second half of the season and the most crucial point. Where did you draft D-Hop last year?
D-Hop probably went, what, 7, 8?
7th or 8th round, right?
Yeah.
That's probably where Rashee Rice is going to go.
Damn. I was probably going to say the same. Probably 7 or 8. Because at that point, you already have your core team, right? So now you're just kind of banking on upside.
Lotto tickets, yeah, that's when you swing on those guys.
Yeah, and if he's sitting there in 7 or 8, that's definitely very tempting.
And I'm sorry, I meant D-Hop from 2 years ago when he was, I think 2 years ago he was suspended the first part of the year, right?
Yeah, but that was, what, 6 games?
This is 8. But that's half your fantasy season, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
D-Hop, baby. God bless that man.
I bet you they give him something like that, dude. Like a 6-game suspension.
I hope it's the whole fucking
season.
What
did J-Mo get? Did J-Mo get 8 or 6?
No, I exaggerated, but he got like, I think he got 6, but only ended up serving like 4 or 5.
Right. Yeah. So something like that's probably going to happen.
And then to round up the receiver room, Sky Moore, he's looking like a bust. Patrick Mahomes loves Justin Watson. He's another best ball guy to me.
Yeah.
Where he will just make one or two big catches a game, typically on third down. And bails out Patrick Mahomes when he's, like, making some crazy play.
Right.
Like, remember there was that one play against the Chargers? Like, on, like, the last drive on, like, a Monday night football game? And he cut, remember? I think Patrick was getting, like, sacked. And then he caught it over, like, double coverage in between Justin Jackson and Derwin James.
That sounds like a play he makes every game, dude. What are we talking about here?
Justin Watson.
What are we talking about here?
Probably the most important piece, other than Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. He did get extended. So it looks like 2 more years, Dynasty owners.
Let's go.
Round of applause.
Rejoice.
Rejoice. I'll drink to that. Noah Gray typically backs him up, but they did draft a tight end in Jared Wiley.
Mm-hmm. If I'm Noah Gray, I'm pissed, bro. Like, just like, man, I thought it was my time. I thought this guy was going to hang it up. Bam, 2 years. Damn it. Bam, you drafted a tight end. What the fuck, dude?
Hey, guess what?
What's going
You're
on here?
Cut this year, dude.
Noah Gray is about to time out on my taxi squad, dude.
Yeah, dude. No kidding.
I don't
think. And they brought in Irv Smith. I mean, he's whatever. But
yes. And honestly, I feel like Jared Wiley's competing with Irv Smith.
Yeah, probably.
Like, in my opinion. Noah Gray, he seems like a serviceable backup.
He definitely has
to
that
Travis Kelce
on lock. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I agree. And then as far as Kelce, he did finish tight end 3 last season, and that's going to be in a PPR format. It was the second time he wasn't the number one overall tight end in the past 8 seasons.
That's so crazy.
So
man.
I will say this. This guy is not going to come out and have the same year that he had this past year. I expect the revenge tour.
Better, okay.
You know? Seasons like this for players
like
this.
Is that a Taylor Swift reference?
What, me and Burby?
Revenge tour?
Oh, I don't know. Was it?
No. It's just...
No, I think it's a Eras tour. That's like the name of her tour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Damn, bro. How much of that beer have you had already?
Oh, man. That could have gone either way, I guess.
Yeah. He took a shot, dude.
Something tour.
Yeah.
He took a shot.
But I think he's going to come out. He's going to have a better year. especially after players like this at later points in their career are like, wow, that shouldn't have happened. So I expect Travis Kelce to rebound, still finish one or two. And if that happens, you expect Patrick Mahomes to be top five at minimum.
He only scored 5 touchdowns.
Right.
And he missed a couple games.
But I will say Patrick Mahomes' 8th finish last year is the lowest finish he's had his entire career, and I don't expect that to happen again.
I agree with Frank. Buy the dip, baby. And I was going to say, look at like the depth chart we referenced already, bro. There's there's nobody there. It's just Travis Kelce still, man.
What that also says, though, is there is some opportunity. Since Rashee Rice ain't going to be there.
That's what I was going to say. The fact that he just lost Rashee Rice, everything is going back to Kelce. And Kelce is good enough where if he wants to hyper-target him,
the dude he can handle it.
He can handle it.
I got a question.
Another thing, like, go ahead, Frank, that's going to give my boy Javier time to round into form. I think this guy has some upside there. He doesn't have to do much. He's not going to be looking at double coverage. You got to beat single coverage in the NFL, and I think he could do it. So
I got a quick question for you guys here. Just popped in my head. So we kind of touched already just on Travis Kelce kind of dipping a little bit last year. Frank, you think he's going to bounce back? I do too. Where does that maybe play in your mind in terms of where you draft him this year in redraft? Do you still think he's a first-round pick?
Nah, no. I think the entire idea of Travis Kelce going the first round last year was incorrect just for the sake of if you compared his previous stats on a week-to-week basis compared to all of the healthy first-round draft picks, he was substantially shittier than everybody else.
Yeah.
Last season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, the season prior. So like if you took the players that got drafted in the first round versus Travis Kelce, the difference of what Travis Kelce averaged on a week-to-week basis was bad. So you were already making up ground against the rest of your league, basically, even though you still had the tight end advantage, right?
Mm-hmm.
From a first-round perspective, you were taking a hit.
No, he falls into Mark Andrews territory for me now, which
me
is
too.
Second, third.
Yeah,
I think probably going to teams 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah. So yeah, to answer your question, yes,
cool.
He falls.
I think I agree with you guys too.
Yeah, if you have the first, second, or third pick, you're probably looking at Travis Kelce on the turn.
I was taking Stephon Diggs in that area all day instead of Travis Kelce personally.
In the turnaround?
No, so in the late round where Travis Kelce was getting drafted last year,
yeah,
I was looking Stephon Diggs.
Oh, gotcha.
That's who I was targeting, not Kelce.
That's another interesting player, but we can talk about him when we talk about the AFC South.
To round out the Chiefs, Isaiah Pacheco, in my opinion, quietly had a good year.
He did. Great year, dude.
Yeah, finished as RB15 overall.
But he was killing it those first few weeks of the season, dude.
And when they and he came on strong in the playoffs. And when they decided to feature him,
mm-hmm. he was the man.
Right. And he actually has breakaway speed, ran a 4.37.
I almost targeted this guy in the so that Rashad White trade that I had, I was contemplating him or Pacheco.
Okay.
Because I needed I obviously was going to go, you know, one of the heavy hitters with McCaffrey, had, you know, a little worried with his age and, you know, all the older backs, you know, that were elite are now, like I said, getting older. So I was looking for a younger guy, not a lot of experience in the league, but that was just going to get the job done. And yeah, this guy was one I was targeting.
And the Chiefs showed confidence in him.
Yeah.
Because they easily could have added a back,
mm-hmm.
whether it was the draft or via free agency.
Nope.
And instead, they just re-signed Clyde Edwards-Helaire, which tells me everything I need to know about how much they love Isaiah Pacheco.
You know where Pacheco went to school, Frank? We haven't done this in a while, bro. So I want to bring it back a little bit.
I know
where
Clyde went, but I don't know where Isaiah went.
D.
Dude, I had no
idea.
Damn,
no. Over two tonight, bro?
I had no idea.
We got the same batting average. Let's get it.
Pacheco went to Rutgers. You know what round he got drafted in?
Seventh round.
Yes, he did.
I did know that.
Good. Yeah, he went in the seventh.
I'm usually good from the draft.
Starting
afterwards.
RB in the seventh. That's why that position's getting devalued so much, bro.
Bro.
You can find fucking.
Like, I understand.
You could undraft anybody, mm-hmm. dude.
I understand why owners don't pay running backs. Yeah, I get it. Dude.
I
get it.
Yeah. LaMichael P. Ryan.
Oh, one quick note about Pacheco. So, like, I always like to talk about the things we said last season or going into draft season is that, like, the worry with Pacheco that we had was could he catch the ball? Mm-hmm. And I thought what we saw last season is he can do it.
He can
and
do
he
it.
He was on the field on those catch.
He can be
downs.
A workhorse if that's what they want him to
right.
do.
Right. So, sky's the limit, I think, for that guy. But I think it always gets capped because you got Kelce there.
Yeah. I love watching him run, too, man. He's such a bully. He just goes.
Marion Barber, bro. That's who he reminds me of.
He's a bully, dude.
He reminds me of Ahmad Bradshaw.
Ooh,
I like that one, too.
Yeah,
I like that one, too.
And then as far as the rest of the running back room, nothing of note here. LaMichael Perron, your boy Keyonte Ingram, Frank.
Let's go. Third down back.
He did end up. He did end up. Now, where did he go to school, bro?
Keyonte? I know this, bro. I know where Keyonte went. Keyonte went to Texas, right?
USC.
He went to USC? Fuck.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it.
I just had to get one on the board.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't get one, dude.
Okay, so
just asked.
Okay, I'm going to ask again, but this we talked about this guy. Amani Bailey did go there as an undrafted free agent.
Where were you talking?
He went to the Chiefs.
Chiefs, okay.
Yes. So a long shot to make the team, but, you know, I thought he had a serviceable skill set.
Sure.
You know, and the fact that the Chiefs called says, like, okay, they might see this, that there's something there.
He can catch.
He can catch.
That's
he can catch.
That's what they saw.
But that's pretty much what we got for the Chiefs. Moving on to the next team, the Raiders.
Skip on to the Chargers.
Checking out.
Some groundbreaking moves in the offseason. They added Michael Gallup. They added Jalen Guyton last week. Gardner Minshew. Alexander Mattison. If you put all those together, it spells mediocre as fuck.
You know what this reminds me of? Oh, that's right. Tom Telesco's the GM over
here. That's right. Hey, Tom.
Very Tom-type moves, man.
Players they lost. They lost Josh Jacobs. Jimmy G, thank God. Did he end up anywhere?
Yeah,
he's
with
the Rams.
He's on the Rams.
Oh, wow.
You know why the Rams took him? So they can learn to beat the Niners.
There you go. Nice.
It's probably very true, dude.
Sean McVay's a snake, bro.
Yeah.
Take any advantage you can get.
That's true. Respect.
They lost Hunter Renfro, Austin Hooper. Other than Josh Jacobs, just a bunch of guys that didn't do shit for fantasy football. And then as far as players they drafted, they did draft Brock Bowers, 13th overall, and they drafted a running back, Dylan Labbe, in the 6th round. As far as the quarterback room, it sounds like it's going to be a competition. And I don't really know who they're going to start. Personally, I like Minshew better. He's got
Agreed.
More of a veteran presence. I thought Minshew was a better quarterback than O'Connell, but when I'm looking at here, when I looked into it, they literally both averaged 12.07 fantasy points per game. And Minshew started one more game.
Yeah, Minshew just had like one big game.
No, dude. Minshew just has a nice mustache and a fucking button down that just that's opened
dude.
Up. It's hilarious.
Minshew is, well, the funny thing is they're both like one of us. Minshew looks like the fucking man. And this O'Connell kid looks like that guy from
Super Troopers.
Super Troopers.
Farva.
Yeah, he looks like Farva.
Yep.
Fucking love both of them. Whoever wins, I'm happy.
Minshew can throw the ball, and he can win you games. He can make things happen, and I think that's what the Raiders are going to end up going with over Aiden.
Agreed. And he may not be much for fantasy, but I trust Minshew to help the rest of the guys
exactly.
out.
Exactly. He's going to get the ball there.
Over O'Connell.
You guys are both wrong, bro. Did you guys forget who the coach is over there?
Antonio Pierce.
Who runs the ball 46 times a game, dude. Those QBs are probably going to get 10 throws a game. That's it.
But they're going to be good
downgrade
throws.
Everyone. Devontae, Jacoby. Shit, man.
I agree.
I originally wasn't as bummed on the Brock Bowers landing spot as a lot of people were. And then I thought about it more, and I'm like, this is a terrible spot for Brock Bowers.
Yeah, I told you that.
I know. I'm admitting it, dude, now. I thought about it, and I'm like, this is a shit spot,
This
bro.
Is horrible for us fantasy
It's a
leaders.
Shit spot for all the pass catchers. Like I said, Devontae, terrible. Jacoby, terrible. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if they leaned with O'Connell to start just because of the familiarity there and what he showed last year. And I think Pierce really does like O'Connell. So I think that might play into his favor. But I'm with you guys. Obviously, Minshew's the better QB. But for fantasy purposes, sounds like they're the same. So good
they're
luck.
100% the same.
So good
100%
luck, dude.
The same.
Yeah.
Also, weird stat I read. So now they have two tight ends they can basically deploy in a two tight end set if they so choose to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Minshew tends to excel in those packages.
Two tight end blocking set. Hit
yeah.
Fucking
I don't know what that
dude.
Means,
Let's
but
go.
There you go.
And looking at their depth chart, we'll just get into the tight ends. Brock Bowers, Michael Mayer, and Harrison Bryant, who
good tight end.
I always
he's
thought
good.
He was a good tight end.
Yeah.
And I thought he just never got a fair shot because of David Njoku.
Yeah, he was buried.
But
he just went from one situation to a worse
he
situation.
He went to the same
yeah.
situation, just
All
in a cooler
again.
City, dude.
All right, man. Looks like you're
and
buried
one
again.
One more tight end now.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
funny
man.
Thing is, dude, like, I think they do all their practices and shit, like, not at Vegas. Like, they go practice in Henderson,
yeah.
Nevada, which I think was, what, an hour out?
Henderson?
No, that's a city in Vegas.
Yeah,
it's a community.
It's like,
oh,
right,
really?
It's like right there, yeah. Man.
Oh, I
yeah,
thought
it's
it was like
close.
A different area. Huh.
It's like
San
Diego
Phoenix,
County.
Bro, right? So there's
Phoenix
and then
Tempe?
Like all those little kind of areas.
Yes. Got it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what Vegas is.
Fuck
for
me, right?
All yeah. those cities.
Apparently they're moving training camp back to California.
I mean, dude, because
it's too fucking hot.
Yeah, I
well,
believe
yeah.
it.
Dude, we don't know what Henderson is in Vegas because we go to Vegas for one fucking thing.
Yeah.
The pools.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Henderson could be in fucking Virginia for all I care.
For all we fucking
yeah.
Bro, they're going to start. It sounds like they're doing training camp where the Chargers have been doing training camp.
Is that Oxnard?
Mm-hmm.
No, Costa Mesa.
No, Cowboys are Oxnard.
Yeah, because the Chargers have that new facility opening up.
Bro, yep. That's like the most prime spot you can go to. Did you guys see that thing? I don't know if it's real or not. I think the Chargers posted it. The field on the beach?
Is that
real?
The Rams.
Oh, the Rams. Wow. That was the Rams. Did you guys see that?
No.
I did.
Is that real?
No.
It looked real.
It was just for the draft.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's I'm gone. Like, whoa, yeah. That looks sick. Yeah.
So I think Michael Mayer's dead. He was barely used, scored 2 touchdowns, and now he lost his job.
That sucks.
So in comes Brock Bowers.
Iowa?
Good guess, bro.
Good guess. No, he was too shitty to go to Iowa.
Oh, okay.
He's another Notre Dame boy, bro.
Notre Dame? Oh, yeah. Damn.
That guy was hyped, too.
He was super
That's what I'm
hyped.
Saying. I'm like, he was supposed to be
the next Gronk.
This year.
Everyone was like pegging him to be the next Gronk. Just
I mean, he
stupid.
Could have been, but he went to the Raiders.
Yeah.
And they just said, fuck off, dude.
Oh, my God.
You guys got me worried that Brock Bowers might be Kyle Pitts 2.0.
Dude, I fucking
I don't think
said
he's Kyle Pitts
2.0.
I don't think he'll be that bad, but I mean, like you said, who's throwing him
the
ball?
The situation there is so
we
bad for him.
We need to see the offense shake out. Because looking at it, like he's the second pass-catching option behind Davante Adams right now.
I actually think that Jacoby Myers is still good enough to hold that role. He's good. He was good last year.
And I also, and he's just so – he's way too talented to not – get him the ball, and I won't be surprised if he doesn't just line
You're literally
up all over
saying
the, field,
the same.
Bro.
Just replace his name with Kyle Pitts, and it's the same fucking script you said last year about Kyle Pitts.
No, I'm just saying, dude. Like with Brock, though, like I could see him literally getting lined up anywhere in the field, not just in traditional tight end sets. I did not say that about Kyle Pitts last year. I did not say he'd be like lined up in the slot
line
or
on
the
on
outside.
The line.
Yeah, sure. I never said that, dude. This guy, Brock Bowers, you could literally line him up anywhere, bro. And if Antonio's Pierce is smart, he'll do that. But I don't think he's going to, dude.
He's a Swiss Army knife of a player.
Yes, he is.
He could easily, if he went to the right team, he's 100% Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you
landing
he's
spot
that
is everything.
Good. Yes, landing spot is everything.
You. This is why I said
We've
this
only
was a
been
fucking
hammering
loser.
That home for months, dude.
This is a fucking loser, dude. I'm sorry, Brock. I'm sorry, dude.
You're right. Fuck him.
Don't even bother, dude.
Yeah, don't even bother with this whole team, except for maybe Zamir. I like
There's
Zamir.
There's a couple guys. So
Zamir White's got something there.
So talking about Zamir White, that running back room, Zamir White, Alexander Mattison, Amir Abdullah, Dylan Labbe.
I didn't
None
know.
Of those guys scare me.
Amir Abdullah's still in the league, dude.
He is, dude.
Wow, good
he
for
was,
him.
So Amir Abdullah was their third down back.
Do you remember how hyped that guy was? He was pretty hyped, too.
He was on a few of my teams way back when.
I drafted him when he was rookie
with
when
the Lions,
he was on the Lions, bro.
Yeah, he was pretty hyped.
And his first week, he came out, he put up 22, and then he got fucking hurt, and nobody ever cared about him again.
And now he's in Vegas doing coke.
Having the time of his life.
Yeah.
Alexander Mattison, to me, that he just sounds like a depth signing.
I think this running back room, though, as a whole, is really strong. But from a fantasy perspective, it should be Zamir White, and then we see Alexander Mattison come in to spell him.
And then Amir Abdullah and Dylan Labbe. For third down pass catching roles.
Yep.
Josh Jacobs, over his time with the Raiders, he averaged 260 fucking touches a game.
Exactly.
And he had 270 before he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of vacated touches. And then I kind of dove into Zamir White a little bit, right? Because we saw a small snippet of him near the end of the season. I thought I liked what I saw.
I agree.
And he averaged 23 touches a game over the last 4 games of the season. A 69% snap percentage, which is what you want to see, because he isn't a full 3 down back. You know, he does typically do more of the running, and then they'll have the pass-catching guy come in.
Yeah.
He averaged 15.1 points per game over those 4 games. And that's a small sample size, but if you spread that out through the whole season, that had him at RB15, right in between Pacheco and David Montgomery.
But do not draft him to be your RB15, let's be honest here.
To me, he's... I would love him as my flex running back, but I feel like he could be a serviceable RB2.
You think he could be an RB2?
Be careful, boys. You fucked a lot of people over last year. I don't know if I can.
Maybe just volume based, I could see an RB2 if Antonio Pierce does what we think Antonio Pierce is going to do, which is run the ball, right?
Right.
Then maybe yes.
He feels very much like a Chris Carson to me. Just like he gets no pass catching work. It's just strictly volume.
Okay.
And that's kind of right where Carson sat. Like,
RB
15 to 20, you know, like probably like there's way higher ceilings than this guy, but you know he's going to get 20 touches a game.
And that's all you need from an RB2 is the opportunities. If your RB2 is getting 20 touches a game, I guess that's not the worst thing in the world. But
that's phenomenal, dude. If your RB2 is getting.
Javonte Williams, what did he get last year? I mean, we'll get into him later. Fuck it. We'll get into him later.
So
I'll tell you what, he got sacked.
Yeah, he got ass.
Fucking nut sack.
He got ass. I'm not talking the good ass, the bad ass.
Oh, man.
Davante Adams leads the wide receiver room, followed with Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker, and then they added a couple vets that are here to die.
Yep.
Michael Gallup and Jalen Guyton. Davante kind of had an interesting year. He finished as wide receiver 10 overall. His 8 touchdowns were his lowest mark since 2019.
Yep.
And that's when he only played 12 games. It's concerning because his quarterback room did not get any better.
I mean, it didn't get worse.
You're right. This is true.
You know, Jimmy G was terrible. And that was the concern going into last year. And we all talked about that. I think I was the only one that had optimistic views that maybe he'd just get his points differently. Well, we were wrong about that, too.
He didn't. In the end, he averaged 15.6 points per game. So that ended up being 15th best among wide receivers. He was healthy last year. He actually played all 17 games. What I did like to see was he was second in targets behind CeeDee Lamb.
If only they were catchable.
Correct. He had 175 fucking targets. And out of that, he was only 9th in receptions and 15th in yards. And then his running mate, Jacoby Myers, I thought he was better than this, but he finished as wide receiver 24. And
dude,
I think
so many games where I thought Davante had the ball and it was Jacoby.
Because
they
looked
so
the same,
pissed.
Dude.
I was so fucking pissed.
And I think what kind of kept his
livid
kept Jacoby's his numbers good. Up. Yeah, I thought I honestly like
he's
I thought he, I thought he was better than wide receiver 24. Because I know there's a small snippet of games where he was flashing
right
with Jimmy G, and he actually scored just as many touchdowns as Davante.
That's what I'm saying. So. Sorry, not to take us off course, but like Jacoby looked good. That's why I think he is the the second best passing option on this team, not Brock. Because Brock is going to die.
I'm just not confident that either of these quarterbacks could support two receivers.
They can't. They can't.
Which is why I feel like they're going to lean into hopefully Brock Bowers.
So if you're a Davante Dynasty owner, you look for the first 4 to 5 weeks of the season, and then if you're just not where you want to be, you put that motherfucker up for trade and you try to get a first round.
You put him up right now, bro. Right now, because this shit ain't getting any better, dude.
You wait till he hits.
If anything, his situation got worse.
The 140 point game.
The moment he drops the 30 burger, you put that guy on the fucking block and you take what you can get, dude.
Yep.
That's great and all, bro. I waited for that hit all year last season.
And you got it.
In week two after that.
Well, I gave you 2 first rounders for him.
Huh?
I gave you 2 late first rounders.
I'm talking redraft, bro.
That's fucking great value.
Yeah, I gave you 2 first rounders, and I got him and Aaron Jones back at the time. It looked like it could be good.
I should specify. I was talking about redraft.
Oh, so it was like 1 first rounder for him and 1 first rounder for Aaron Jones?
Yep.
Oh, I thought it was 2 first rounders for Davante Adams.
2 first rounders and then some. I gave something. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you do what you got to do. Try to get in position to win some games, and Davante lets you down.
Are you drafting him this year in redraft?
No.
Probably, what, second round now?
Once you burn
me, probably
dude,
stay
I'm
away
not
from
Davante.
I just because if you draft him in second round, he's still your wide receiver 1.
Yeah, and I don't like the situation. I don't like the quarterback.
And if you draft
the
wide receiver,
I don't like his age.
Right. If you draft the receiver first round and then you try to get him in the second round, that to me doesn't mean like you're maximizing points. You just took a wide
receiver. You're trying to fill holes.
Right. And that's not right.
Okay. Cool. We on the same page, bro. I fucking hate this team, but
God, I love this fucking beer.
This beer is good, dude. Moving on to the shitty Denver Broncos.
It hits you immediately, dude. Immediately.
I feel, dude, I got a ways to go. Let's party. So guys that they added. Yep.
Zach The ATC favorite, Zach Milf Hunter Wilson, baby.
Zach the Hunter Wilson. And you know what? I like Josh Reynolds.
I like Josh Reynolds,
too.
He's
a good vet, dude.
I wish we would have signed Josh Reynolds instead of DJ Chark.
Like, I was on the Lions last year, right?
Yep.
And with the Rams prior to that. And he had a good. And with the Titans prior to that.
He had a couple games where he showed out. He was a wide receiver one a couple weeks.
He's a good, serviceable second wide receiver for an NFL team.
He's a mercenary, bro. He just goes whatever team has him.
I fucking love that.
Yeah, that's who he is.
Yep.
They cut bait on this. I can't remember what Steve Smith called him. I think it was a ninja. Jerry Jeudy.
He needed to go, bro.
Yes. What a bust. That whole team. So what was it? CeeDee Lamb.
Alabama.
Nice,
there you
bro.
Go.
I had to get one today.
CeeDee Lamb.
I teed that one up for
Henry
you.
Henry Ruggs. And it was Jerry Jeudy, right? Was it between those three?
CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, all at Alabama?
No, that was like the big three.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? Like the previous, you know, these three top 10 wide receivers.
Mm-hmm. All bust.
All bust.
It's
except
funny
for CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb is a fucking monster.
It's funny you guys say that. I was actually looking at the draft history today in Dynasty. And yes, a lot of wide receiver busts. The ones that have hit the most, at least in my eyes, have been the running backs. If you look at the running backs that have been taken in the first or second round, almost all of them have hit. A lot of them over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. Except for Trent Richardson.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking
that was
like
10
years
ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yes, you are correct.
Trent Richardson was a bust.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Broncos also got rid of Russell Wilson. Let's ride. They drafted his replacement, Bo Nix. Ducks fly together, baby.
Ducks fly together.
Troy, wide receiver, Troy Franklin.
Did you say that, Don?
Yeah, we're going to be using that all year, Don. You better not copyright
that.
One-eye
Don, baby.
Ducks fly together, baby.
Running back, Audric Estime, and then some receiver that I've never heard of. So as far as the depth chart, I don't know if it's Bo Nix is a lock to start right now.
I think he is. I think... what's his name is enamored with him, bro.
I mean, Sean they Payton drafted him in the first round, bro.
This is true.
He's going to get an opportunity to show his showcase his
right,
ability.
Right, and I think if it's going to be a coin toss between him and Jarrett Stidham, then they're going to go Bo Nix.
Just blow everyone away, and he just becomes just like this god in Denver, dude.
And then watch him week one just be like, there's the Zach Wilson we all have come to love, dude.
Yeah. Got a bunch of moms on the sideline, dude, cheering him on.
The Denver MILFs.
Yeah. Oh, God. Nice, dude. That's a good one.
So, yeah, I think it's kind of up in the air. Jarrett Stidham kind of started when Russell Wilson got benched.
He's not bad. He's a journeyman backup, bro.
He did little to nothing. He averaged 13 points per game in those two starts, which is still more than Zach Wilson, who averaged 10.5 amongst all of his starts last season.
How much fantasy points did he average?
10.5.
Okay. I just had to go back and make sure that wasn't more than the Raiders room.
Yeah. No. We're good.
Oh, God.
But Bo Nix, like you said, Sean Payton is completely enamored with him. They were raving about how quickly he memorized the offense. It wouldn't shock me if he started right away. But frankly, I feel like rookie quarterbacks that start right out of the gate don't have a track record for success.
They don't, dude.
In that first season.
Yeah, they don't. Not at all.
Now, moving on to the running backs. Javonte Williams.
He let us down last year.
An ATC darling, and he did let us down.
Don't throw me into that shit pile, bro.
I had nothing
to do with Javonte Williams.
Yeah, me and D were riding. We got hyped,
you know, and we tried to look past the fact that he tore his ACL, his PCL, and his LCL last season.
Tried real hard. Well, remember, I was like, I don't know. And then you're like, well, they're saying he's looking good.
Come on, man.
Well, and then that's when the hype train started, right?
If there's anything I've learned about Sean Payton, that guy's a lying piece of shit. Dude.
Yeah, he is, dude. He fucking is.
Yeah, so he fucked us and the rest of the fantasy world. It was kind of rough for Javonte. He only averaged 30 snaps a game, but he managed to get over 1,000 scrimmage yards in those 16 games that he played and still had 5 total touchdowns. He averaged 11.2 points per game, just behind Najee Harris. I can't imagine him being any worse. And being honest. Like,
you heard it here, Brady.
Yeah.
It's starting again. The Javonte Williams turns, baby.
We know.
Hey, bro. One more year later.
Just wait till I get to a running back on the next team, bro.
Fuck, damn it.
That said, you know, if he's following the traditional timeline of being 2 years removed from the ACL tear. So looking overall, like his numbers, like he typically would average like 4.5 yards per carry. You know, he averaged, you know, his numbers between breaking tackles off of first contact, they were all significantly lower.
Right.
This last season, you know, Sean Payton was feeding us the bullshit hype of how he was ahead of schedule and how good he looked in camp. They're giving him touches in the preseason. That told us he's ready. And in the end, the offense was terrible. The running back room became crowded. They had some 5'8" little undrafted rookie on the goal line when Javonte's clearly the bigger back. You just had no rhyme or reason to what the fuck they were doing in that running
back
room.
That pissed me off, dude.
Yeah. I was going to say, when you were talking about Sean Payton, bro, I think there's something out there, and maybe we talked about it in the past. Isn't there like a site or some guy that keeps track of like what coaches say and how accurate they are with their statements? You know what I'm talking about?
I'm sure it exists. I'm sure we can find it.
Yeah, dude. And we should look like that Sean up. Payton's at like the bottom of the barrel on it, bro. Like he's
hell yeah.
Absolute dog shit. I can't remember who's at the top though.
Basically, just
it was interesting,
everything
bro.
Opposite than what he says.
Yeah, it was really interesting that this guy like tracks it, and basically that you know those top low or the coaches at the top, like everything they say is the truth, and you're like, okay, well if this guy says the truth, then I'm gonna fucking start
trying,
this guy.
He was willingly trying. He openly said, "I was trying to trick the Vikings into trading it." Like, anyways,
you love it, dude.
So they draft so that they didn't draft, but they brought in Samaje Perine last season, who was a very serviceable pass-catching back for the Bengals prior to. That, on the surface, looked like a good signing. From a fantasy standpoint, it was kind of dog shit. He's only finished as RB40 overall, despite him posting career-best receiving numbers. Diving into it a little bit more, his 50 receptions were actually good for 14th most in the league last season from the running back position, and it was pretty crowded. He was honestly only too shy of being in the top 10. Like he was strictly a third down guy. But what complicated it even more was every now and then they would throw in Jaleel McLaughlin.
Yeah.
You know?
For
so
absolutely no reason.
For no reason. Like, yeah, I'm going to throw
him. He showed
him
some reasons, bro. He flashed, I thought.
Right. But like he was, to me, he was just fucking taking points away from everybody else. Like,
yeah.
When to you me, looked at him, he didn't do enough.
He, I actually thought he looked better than Samaje.
You're right. He did.
He did.
But for absolutely no other reason than that, like as fantasy owners.
But you
like,
couldn't trust him.
Yeah.
Like
you're not starting Jaleel
right.
McLaughlin.
It was
of course
like,
not.
You're not starting Samaje Perine, but you were probably starting Javonte Williams.
Like, oh, his snap share went up. Like, I think he took the job from Samaje. Maybe I'll spend $5 a fab on him. Oh, look at that. He didn't see a fucking snap the next game. It didn't make any sense.
Yep.
And now they add in Audric Estime. Who profiles as a ground and pound?
Don't worry about that guy.
Goal line back.
No one has to worry about that kid.
But honestly,
Mike Tolbert 2.0.
But honestly, the way I'm looking at this though, I don't see them rolling into the season with these four running backs. I think someone's getting cut, and to me, it just looks like Samaje Perine because he's going to be a cap casualty.
Yeah,
he's older. They paid him. They can get out from under that contract. So I could see him getting cut. Jaleel McLaughlin becoming the third down pass catcher.
Showed enough
guy.
Last year to do that.
Javonte Williams being 20-20, and then once they get to the 5-yard line, Audric Estime takes
here
all the
he
touchdowns. Don't draft any of these running backs. I'm sorry, Javonte. I'm breaking up with you.
Nice.
It's over.
I'm proud of you, dude.
It's over.
Frank, are you breaking up with him too, or?
Oh yeah.
Damn,
I drafted him in one league,
you were
dude.
Be like, nah, I'm holding out, baby.
Nah, I drafted him in one league, and I just. Even though I hyped him up, I like something in me. I had an opportunity to take him in a few other leagues, but I was like, no, I'm going to go lottery ticket receiver instead.
Okay. I'm holding you guys to that. If either of you draft Javonte this year, all our listeners are going to know about
it. Put
it
on the board.
We'll
right?
put it on the board.
Well, I mean,
we can't draft
nope,
Javonte.
No, I don't
want to
hear it, dude. If he's in the 9th round and you fall somehow and you're like, oh, I want to take him, you fucking better not, dude.
You better
I'll
not.
I'll put you on blast.
Better not.
Put that right next to. Frank has to draft Kyren Williams in the top 5.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's
I was
right.
thinking
I
about
that.
So I wasn't arguing drafting in the top 5. I was just arguing that his draft position didn't change based on the acquisition.
Didn't
of Blake
you say
Quorum.
He would?
Yeah,
but
you
presented you
did,
the
bro.
Question. You're like, would you trade him top 5? But I'm like, dude, I thought about it. I'm like, you can't arguably take him top 5 over 4 other elite receivers.
I'm pretty sure you said you
I
would.
I know
dude.
I would, but
okay.
like,
I pressed you harder, Mo. Take him number 1. You're like, I can't fucking do that.
I get that. But you were pressed to say he would take Kyren top 5 anyways is a bit ludicrous this year, given the stack at receivers in the front.
Brady.
I can't defend you on this, bro.
I'm just saying.
I think you look back and you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, we were arguing, and we was in the heat of the moment. You're like, would you take him top five?
Because in my head,
you said, put your money where your mouth is, take him top five.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you said.
But you said you would.
But yeah. I get that. But like, what I was arguing is that as of today, his draft capital doesn't change because of Blake Corum. So like, I think you just said that to get the conversation going, obviously. Because nobody in the right mind is going to take Kyren Williams top five.
Hold on, bro.
Except you said you were going to. Put it on the board.
On the board.
I'm probably not going to. So it's, yeah.
Redacting. Redact that.
What do you
redact
want me to do? It. You want me to shotgun a beer for it? I don't care. I'm not going to take Kyren top five.
I want
five.
You to put
Kyren
your money where your mouth is.
Kyren is top five running back rank in my eyes. But I can't take him top five over the elite receivers.
I was listening to the Fantasy Footballers, and they basically talked about the same thing that we talked about in a much more controlled and professional manner.
Nah. That's why they're not.
That's why
cool,
they're losers, dude.
But yeah, they were talking about. I think they even brought up like, "Do you take him top five?" And they're like, "No. He was probably going to go in the back end of the first."
That's exactly where I think he should go. But I was just.
But yeah. Frank is going to take him in the top five, baby.
Yes, heard it here.
Do
first.
It, bro. Win
That's
the league.
That's what I get for getting pissed off.
Win the league, baby. And in my head, I'm like going, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, see, you were just trying to get an egg out of me.
I baited you, bro. I'm ready. Look,
I fell for it, damn.
I just Sean Payton your ass, dude.
We have our first redactment of the season.
Yeah,
dude.
I can't do that. I can't, honestly.
Let's go.
All right, well, it's going off the board then, but just know you're a bitch, dude.
Yeah. You have to paint one finger.
Yeah. Oh, you still need to do that, by the way, sir.
I do. We got to find a date.
Yeah.
Moving on to these shitty wide receivers. Cortland Sutton leading out the room. Wide receiver 35 last season, despite scoring a career-high 10 touchdowns.
Very much the TD-dependent receiver of the season that we always
correct.
Have.
And most of that work was done with Russell Wilson, who was no longer there. And behind him are a bunch of young bucks, dude. So Marvin Mims was there last year. I think they drafted him in the second round. He kind of looked like a promising star. He had a good start his first four games. He had a couple of top 24 finishes. After that, he literally did nothing. His best finish for the rest of the year was wide receiver 56.
Ouch.
Troy Franklin got drafted. He's kind of slid in the NFL draft.
Quack, quack, baby.
Quack, quack. Ducks fly together. So if Bo Nix does start, I mean,
Troy Franklin's
you
got to
give Troy a little bit of a boost, you know?
He's this guy.
There's enough of a skill set there where he could come in and be the third wide receiver in this room and eat against the slot.
He should be able to beat that corner, right?
It's not just skill set, too, with Troy. It's also chemistry, right? Obviously, Bo is.
That's a great point.
Troy is Bo's guy, so. That chemistry's there. They know how to work together on the field. Don't be shocked, you know, if Troy does kind of surprise some people.
And but I'm honestly looking at this, dude. I'm like, this room just feels crowded as fuck. Because yeah, then there's Josh Reynolds, who Josh might be the best of the bunch.
Well, dude, and then there's this guy who I didn't realize was still on the team.
Tim Patrick?
Yes, bro. I'm like, what? Tim Patrick's still there?
Philip Dorsett.
Yeah. They thought Tim Patrick was the best out of Jerry Jeudy and Courtland
right.
Sutton.
Yeah.
But the dude was just doing his best J.K. Dobbins impression and getting hurt every freaking year.
Yeah.
So we don't really know. And then in a big, even bigger unknown are the tight ends in this fucking team,
this
dude.
This is brutal, man.
Adam Trautman is still listed. You piece of shit, Sean Payton. Adam Trautman is still listed as the starter.
Frustrating, dude.
Never going to get a Greg Dulcich look ever.
Greg might be dead.
You got Greg, right? I thought you got Greg. Yeah, I got Greg, too.
Fucking traded
for
him for a third round pick,
dude.
Fucking hate. We all have Greg?
Yeah. Two games last season.
God damn it, bro.
Thank God Travis Kelce got extended because Greg
we
Dulcich
needed that so
was
bad.
All I had. It was literally same. Greg Dulcich and Dawson Knox for my dynasty Ooh. Team.
At least you got Dawson. I had Greg. I was going to fire him up. That's all I had, dude.
We had nothing else,
all right,
bro.
Greg, get out there, brother. Let's go.
Come on, baby. Get me that 2 points a game.
Yo, you want Noah Gray for a first?
God.
That's funny, man.
But if the listeners haven't already noticed, it's like it's pretty obvious. You don't want to be drafting a fucking Denver Broncos this year.
Yes.
I don't know how else
to Is that our team? You know who loves the Denver Broncos this year? Don.
Sean Payton?
No way.
Don.
He thinks they're going to have a...
You could always tell who he's... He picks a team every year, dude. So last year, he loved the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He loved Stroud. He loved Nico Collins. He loved Tank Dell. Dude, and he wasn't wrong. And then...
He hit that.
He hit that.
Right on the head.
And then in the redraft standpoint, he loved the Eagles. Remember,
He stacked AJ
Brown. So he took AJ Brown with the fifth pick in the draft, and everyone's like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And then he took Jalen Hurts, in the second round and stacked it, and he just rode those two until he ran into me in the playoffs.
Dude, sometimes I don't know. Okay. You just know.
That I think he was the one seed too.
That's just a quick side note here for us. That just implanted something in my mind. We should get Don on the podcast and start getting multiple people in the league on the podcast as guest spots, dude.
That would be sick.
Don, text me if you're into
and
that.
Don should be the first one, bro.
Because we have an extra spot.
Shout out to Don, because that's fucking rad. I didn't know that. I do remember now about the Texans, and now he's saying that he's going to bet on the Broncos. Now I want to go to Vegas with Don, bro, and throw all my money on the Denver Broncos.
He's going to, and then like a year from now, he's gonna be like, the Broncos? Damn, I thought it was the Colts.
Yeah. He's like, fuck, bro.
I mean, and he told me before the, like way before the draft, that he loved Bo Nix. And I'm like, Bo Nix is good, dude.
And he ended up taking him, right?
And he ended up taking him.
Yeah.
And you know why he loved Bo Nix? Because he had good, because he had good value. His card flipped well.
Wow.
His card?
Yeah.
So Don, you're the man.
That guy's so in deep, bro.
He's so deep, bro.
He like kind of determines like NFL and fantasy success based off of how well their cards do.
You know, to be fair, it probably does have great value.
That's not like the worst way
to go
about it.
Better value right now? Probably Spencer Rattler, baby.
The Rattler.
Go pick your guy's self up some Spencer Rattlers, dude.
Oh, God. That's your lottery ticket.
Dude, I had Spencer Rattler in one of my other dynasty leagues. I had him for about 4 hours, right? So this was a long draft, and the commissioner, he's whatever.
Right.
And so typically in the previous seasons, just like ours, once the draft ends, it's a fucking free-for-all.
Okay.
And this is a long draft. So there was confusion, like, hey, is it a free-for-all? Is it not a free-for-all? Oh, we should do a waiver system, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, hold on. Like, you shouldn't implement a change that big, like, right now. Like, right. You know, we should just leave it alone. And everyone's texting about it, blah, blah, blah. So the last thing I saw was like, nothing is going to change. It is going to be left as is. And then apparently there was another conversation that came up like 12 hours later where he said, it's not going to change, but I'm going to set a time where everyone can draft. Right. So basically the plan was for him to like lock it. And then, all right, 2 weeks later, we're all going to have, I'll open it back up again so everyone could just jump on and do free for all. Well, I didn't fucking know that. So I'm over here waiting for the draft to end, and I already have everything lined out. Like, I want these because it's only 3 rounds.
Yeah.
So there's a ton of players.
Oh,
so
no.
On top of this, this lazy commissioner never locked it. He was going to just lock it when the draft ended. And on top of that, he's fucking around. Like, he's making trades that don't make sense to, like, piss the guys off. So everyone's like, what the fuck are you doing? That's a bullshit trade. So he was over here fucking around. And then the draft ends, and here comes D, bro. Bing, 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 bing. Drafting, like, I drafted Rattler. I drafted Tyrone Tracy. I had Gorendo. I had fucking 5 guys in the barrel. My roster was ready. He's like, yo, you can't do that, bro. I'm like, what the fuck you mean I can't do that, dude? You told me, like, you said shit's never changing. He's like, oh, because apparently he was trying to lock it, and I'm just swooping up players left and right.
I mean,
dude,
that's on him, brother.
That's what
I
said.
On him. That's on you.
Is Frank your commissioner in this league, dude?
Bro, I
haven't
it
had
was,
to do
dude.
Anything in our league in a long time.
I told him
time.
It was bullshit. I know. He fucking took everyone off my team.
That's
oh,
why.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, fucking lame.
All right.
I was pissed, dude.
You need to get out of that league, bro. That's
I tend to think
bro,
I'm a pretty decent commissioner.
Dude, I would
you're
leave.
You're shit, dude. Let's be honest.
Dude, trust me, dude. Like, I feel like every year they like implement some rule. I'm like, well, that's fucking stupid. Like, they went back to waivers.
Nah, kudos to both of you guys.
Like,
I can never be a commissioner.
No, waivers
though.
Is fair for everyone. I'm like, no, it's fucking not. Like, I want to crack at someone just because this guy's ahead of me, I don't get a shot at him.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I liked Fab. So, like, I feel like every year this league is doing something that just pisses me off. And this is this again.
And that's Dynasty. That's a Dynasty.
This is Dynasty League. The only reason why I haven't left is because I've won every fucking year.
Okay, respect.
Yeah.
And I'm going to win again. Fucking, you guys can hear it now. I know all 12 of you are listening. 11 of you are listening.
Baby.
I'm going to fucking three-peat on your ass.
Let's go.
With or without Spencer Rattler, baby.
Take their money and buy a belt, dude.
Oh, fucking shit, dude. I should buy a belt so I could spank him with it. Moving on.
Oh,
that's
man.
The league I just got AJ Brown.
Whew. God.
On to our last team, the Chargers. A lot of moving parts here. Let's start with who they got rid of. Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, Joshua Kelly, Jalen Guyton, Gerald Everett. Four starters.
I was going to say, just on surface level, looking at that, I'd be like, oh, they're going through a rebuild, dude.
Yep.
Bro, honestly, after I looked at this, I'm like, why the fuck am I so optimistic about this team?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Who do they replace those guys with? DJ Chark. J.K. Dobbins, Hayden Hurst, Will Disley, and Gus the Bus Edwards. They did draft Ladd McConkey. They drafted Kamani Vidal, who's a late-round flyer at running back. And then another late-round flyer.
He went to Troy Brady.
Yes, bro. Where did Brendan Rice go?
I didn't know that, man.
USC.
There we go. Where did Cornelius Johnson go?
Fuck. I don't know where that guy went.
Wait. Sorry, man. Who went to Troy? The running back?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Nice. Good shit. I think Brendan Rice might be like a super sleeper, dude.
I was going to get into that, bro.
I'll let you get into it, dude.
But... And then Cornelius Johnson went to Michigan. So Ladd McConkey, out of everyone drafted, is the one that carries the most draft capital because he was drafted in the second round.
Yep.
Everyone else was the sixth.
He's a gym rat. So
and he's a gym rat.
Can't go wrong with those guys.
Everyone else, sixth round or later.
Tape guy.
So looking at the depth chart for the Chargers, it's going to be Justin Herbert's room.
Yep.
Obviously, the biggest concern with him is the offensive scheme. You know, he's switching over to a very run-heavy scheme. If you look at what Greg Roman has done in the past, as well as Jim Harbaugh, they're going to run on first down. They're going to run on second down.
You guys are
third and long,
Ravens West, dude. That's what it is.
I bet we're going to fool them. We're going to run on third down again.
We're going to spread them out and draw, baby.
Yeah. Yes.
So I do think Justin Herbert's going to run more.
So do I.
I do too.
That's the only good thing I can say about that. Other than that, his fantasy value takes a
what
massive
concerns
hit.
Me about that is, I mean, no bullshit, Justin Herbert has been a little prone to injury these last two seasons.
He has.
One of them being his ribs, which doesn't bode well for someone that's going to start running the ball more.
Wasn't that other one like a fluke one, though? Wasn't it like his
thumb?
It
was. Yeah, he like hit his thumb on him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be worried. But then he was out the rest of the year.
But he was out the rest of the year.
He's a pretty smart runner when he does run. He knows when to get out of bounds and slide. So, like, I wouldn't be too worried about
shit.
It. Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I don't fucking know.
But the biggest question with him is, like, how much is he going to throw? And when I was looking at it today, I'm starting my rankings.
Mm-hmm.
He's out of my top 12.
I agree with you.
Right now. I think I had him
don't
at like 14,
that,
dude.
I agree with
I
you.
I have him too, bro.
No.
Like,
if you're Justin Herbert and you like have come into the league and you've started to develop this sort of like legacy, right, that you're like one of the best and you should end up being one of the best, how hard does this take a hit for you personally, given that you know you ain't going to be the featured fucking player on this team anymore?
I think we're going to see a better Justin Herbert.
I think we are going to see a better Justin Herbert, but like if you're trying to contend with those players, those like Patrick Mahomes, those Josh Allens, those Joe Burrows of the world, which are the centerpiece of those offenses, and like as their legacies build, that's what they're going to be known for. With this offense, like Justin Herbert's just known as the guy that runs it.
Herbo, I was just going to say, Herbo doesn't really strike me as the guy that wants to be known as the guy, dude.
I know that.
I think he more so wants to win, and he'll do whatever it takes to win.
He's Mike Trout.
Yeah, if that means taking a back seat to let the other players shine, that's what he's going to do, dude.
Herbo just feels like Philip Rivers.
Then why did we pay him Patrick Mahomes money?
Because of what we believe he could have been. And I said could have.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm like worried that we've started to create a mismatch. Well, is that over time, what Justin Herbert thinks his value is and what he actually does on the field might start to create a disparity.
I think we're waiting for almost like the stars to align for him and this team, because everyone that talks about Justin Herbert, and when I say everyone, it's like the NFL.
Right, right.
The consensus is Justin Herbert is arguably one of the most gifted quarterbacks in the game today.
Sure.
And that's how they word it. He's gifted. You know, like all the tools are there. Like it's just not all clicking. You know, whether if it's his offensive coordinator or if it's his O-line or if he gets hurt or the fact that he blew a 28-point lead in the playoffs. And I'm going to say he blew it.
I'm going to be honest. Hey, man, you're a Charger. That's what matters.
Welcome to Chargers, bro. what we do.
I mean, but to round things out, like, sadly, I'm not that hyped for Justin Herbert.
I'm not either.
Where I do feel like we're going to see a more efficient Justin Herbert. It's going to be better for the team and better for the NFL. I don't think we're going to get that guy from 3 or 4 years ago where he finishes QB2 overall.
How far do you think this guy falls in redraft?
I don't think he's going to fall that far. Damn,
drink some more of that beer, dude.
Damn, this beer's hitting me, dude.
Frank, I told you this beer's good.
Had a good call, dude. You don't think so, huh? I think
no. Because
would you say he's gonna? Do you think like five? Is that as far as he'll
fall? He's gonna get overdrafted, is what I would argue. So like based on where he gets drafted this year, and then if we obviously we don't have the
foresight, redraft, by the way.
Yeah, if we look at the end season stats or try to predict them, I think they're gonna be. He's going to be lower than where he should have been drafted.
And for Dynasty Startup, he's still a first-round pick.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He played long game there, baby.
Definitely concerned about that kid, though, man. As a Dynasty owner who put everything into him, dude. Like, everything. You're my first-round pick. I'm riding you to the promised land,
You took
dude.
Him over Joe Burrow.
With everybody, dude.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts. I'm all, you better prove me right, bro. And instead,
and he's got Jalen Hurts, and I got Joe Burrow.
Yeah, yeah. Like I could have, that kind of went better for me.
I would have taken him, and Frank's like, Bobby would have taken him too.
It is what it is, though, boys. Good luck to Justin.
But yeah, like I said earlier, as I'm looking at this depth chart, I'm like, I don't know why. I mean, Gus Edwards is the lead back, right?
I agree. I personally think Gus Edwards.
There is no lead back here, bro.
Edwards flashed, dude. When he was given time with Baltimore last year, he was good. So I basically imagine he's going to come over. He's going to do similar shit.
I think he was more lucky than good, man, to be honest.
It's also a product of the fact that, like, you're always worried about the Lamar Jackson.
I think he's
a
good fit for the scheme, right? Yes. So he had 13 touchdowns last season. That wasn't with Greg Roman. Mm-hmm. But the Ravens basically kept a very similar offense in place.
The Ravens have not changed their offense since
they can't.
Ray Lewis. Civil War, dude.
They can't.
Yeah.
Not with Lamar Jackson.
That's
who
their identity is. They've been a physical, grounded out team, dude, who relies on a great defense.
And that's what makes, I think, the Chargers intriguing, because the Ravens offense is predicated on being physically tougher than you, getting a lead and holding that lead.
Yeah.
You know, Lamar Jackson is not built to get into a shootout where Justin Herbert can. You know, if you're down, two touchdowns, and you need to start throwing the ball, you have the quarterback to do it.
Okay, mm-hmm. I see. I mean, he hasn't proven it yet.
That's a great point, dude.
But that's a good point.
Yeah, that's a very good point. But are they gonna let him throw it, dude?
They're running it.
Yeah, like
we're down
I know we make
nothing
jokes
in the second quarter. Hand off back to Gus Edwards up the middle.
3-yard pickup. Let's go,
dude. Dead serious. I know we make jokes about it, but that's what they do, man. Like. There are just coaches that are so set in their ways that don't want to get away from a game plan, no matter what, man.
It's just
alarming to me, like that you guys are literally the Ravens West, bro.
But as a Charger fan, like, good, fucking run the ball, please, like, because there are multiple games where it's like, oh, we're running at a good clip, but then we get into a shootout because the defense sucks and now we're throwing the ball.
Yep.
You know, so I'd love to see this team run the ball, and frankly. Yeah, Gus Edwards was serviceable. He averaged 5 yards a carry every single year, and which is what I love to see. And when the Ravens lost to the Chiefs
in
the playoffs.
What did J.K. average last year, dude?
I think it was 11.1.
11.1
in that one half,
and
dude.
And one torn ACL. Achilles.
One torn ACL.
Right. But over his career, which still has over 200 carries to its name, he's averaging over six.
He's averaging 15. Games missed per year is what he's averaging.
That is a true statement. So let's talk about J.K. Dobbins.
Speaking of the devil.
Yeah.
Because I found this interesting. So J.K. Dobbins gets signed. So he goes back to the Ravens West, you know, back to Greg Roman, back to being the change of pace, you know, for Gus Edwards or the workhorse. It doesn't matter. They were kind of interchangeable. What raised my eyebrows was the fact that the Chargers only gave him $50,000.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Hey, man, that's $50K more than I got in my bank account right now.
Hey, man, that's going to be $50K more than he had a few weeks ago when he gets hurt again.
So, but this tells me a few things, right? This one, it tells me they don't owe him anything.
Nope.
He is not a lock to make this team. They did draft Kamani Vidal in the 6th round, who profiles as, like, the perfect back for this scheme. Just very, like, between the tackles, ground to pound. Like, his collegiate numbers were very, very good. The reason why he fell so far in the draft is because he played for a small school and he has a lot of miles on those legs.
Mm-hmm.
So he very much profiles as a 2 to 3 year guy.
Yeah.
But another thing this tells me about J.K. Dobbins is yes, he could very much be cut, right? But on the flip side, to play devil's advocate to that, I mean, if this team owes him nothing,
Don't go down this hole, dude.
Don't go down the hole. This is all I'm gonna say. But this is all I'm gonna say, right? Like,
okay.
If he makes the team, that tells me like, okay, that obviously there must be something there, right? Like, why would you keep a guy with two ACL tears and one missing foot?
I would hope there's something there, dude. He's still what, 25?
I think he's 23.
Yeah, he's young, man. I would hope
so. Like, why would you keep this injury-prone running back over a sixth-round pick and Isaiah Spiller that you just drafted a few years ago, right? Like, that tells me, like, okay, and you only owe him $50,000. So it's like maybe he is still that same guy that Greg Roman and the Ravens think he was.
Don't talk yourself into it.
I'm just saying it, dude. Like, I mean, you got to think about it. Like, okay, like they don't. This guy's clearly just a camp guy. They only like who do they give $50,000 to, bro? They give $20,000 to the guys that are undrafted, right? So like, if he can make the team. Like, I expect him, if he makes the team, I expect him to see the field. That's what I'm saying.
I think this speaks to a bigger point at large for me. If you're a parent out there listening, mom or dad, put your son or daughter in baseball or golf. Something that guarantees money, dude, that's going to pay. Because this fucking schmuck that D's talking up, dude, is what, guaranteed $50,000? Is it guaranteed or non-guaranteed?
It's guaranteed.
Okay, yeah, it was. That's what I thought it was. Okay.
So he's gonna get vet minimum, but the guarantee is $50,000.
So basically, they wrote him a check for $50,000. They can cut him today. All they owe him is $50,000.
Yeah,
he's already cashed it.
Which tells me in California, he's making after the vet taxes, minimum, and his contract trash. Is very incentive laden.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm staying as far away from J.K. Dobbins as possible in fantasy.
Agreed.
Don't draft him.
The guy has shown me enough over the last...
Or not shown you anything.
Or maybe he hasn't, because he hasn't, dude.
Oh, God.
I mean, I'm not going to fall down that road again.
You're talking like you might, dude.
But hey, we're educating the people here, right?
Okay.
So
yeah, that's what we're calling it.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're saying don't touch him.
D's going to wake up and be like, man,
but, okay, so
how
let's,
can I get J.K. Dobbins?
So let's fast forward to August, right? And let's say he makes the team. Okay, and it's okay, cool. It looks like he beat out Vidal. So like, oh shit. So now it's back to Ravens West. We're Ravens West, literally Gus Bus and J.K. Dobbins. Like, yes, there was an Achilles tear, but who won the job last season? It was J.K. Dobbins won the job,
right?
And then he tore his Achilles. But like, let's just keep that in mind. Like, J.K. It was always J.K. Dobbins beating out Gus Edwards. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but right. I'm just saying, like, all right, so now you've at literally the best case scenario, this guy becomes like the Justice Hill, where he gets 5 touches a game. Like, you're not touching that for fantasy.
Sure.
But let's say he makes a team.
I'm hearing a lot of buts, Steve.
No, but okay, so let me ask you this. If Gus Edwards goes down, because he also has an injury history,
right?
And J.K. Dobbins is now the guy. Like, do you go after him?
You know, looking at the wide receivers here, I probably would. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll just keep that in our minds.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? I'm not going to touch him, but I feel like we're going to be talking about him.
During the season.
Just
spend your fab on J.K. Dobbins, all of it.
Yeah.
100. Now, do it. You want to do it. Shake my hand. Do it now.
I mean, like,
1, 2, 3, go.
Like, honestly, like, I didn't think this guy would land on a team.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
You know, but like, you know, you're the reports out of camp, like he's healthy, blah, blah, blah.
Same shit we hear every year,
you know, versus like, oh, yeah, no, he's still recovering. Like, no, he's participating. That's too much time on J.K. Dobbins. I do like Kamani Vidal. I like him as a dynasty pick. I like what he brings to the team. Frankly, at this point, he's probably way more explosive than J.K. Dobbins, and I could to me, he just felt like a poor man's Blake Corum. Like, I thought this pick was Jim Harbaugh getting his Blake Corum. Because he's very much a workhorse. The dude's like 5'7", 210 pounds, you know?
That's
so
a thick boy, dude.
He's a thick boy. Very Mike Tolbert-esque.
I haven't seen him, to be honest, so I don't know.
I think Isaiah Spiller's going to get cut.
Womp. That makes me sad.
And Elijah Dotson flashed in the preseason, but I feel like he just wasn't a good enough a special team guy. Yeah. So
isn't it wild that there was, sorry guys, just real quick, there was a debate at one point in time during the college football season between Breece Hall and Isaiah Spiller. That's crazy.
And I don't also, know where that he, just where makes he me feel school? Like
who?
Isaiah.
Texas A&M.
Yes. Texas A&M.
So it goes back to schemes, and it just makes me wonder, like, okay, like, was Isaiah just not the right scheme fit? Like, it, like, I don't know if Texas ran, like, the power, well, power
let's,
run.
Let's be honest. The Chargers aren't exactly known for raising talent.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
You could have drafted anybody, and they're going to be ass on our team as, you know, see Quentin Johnson.
You guys know how to hit on one thing, and that's linemen, and that's it, brother.
Which
yeah,
one?
Yeah, right.
Name one.
Name one. I guess we suck, dude. Do we? We're the full complete package.
Rashad Slater.
But.
So getting into the receivers, Josh Palmer, Ladd McConkey, Quentin Johnson that we just talked about, DJ Chark, Brendan Rice, Cornelius Johnson. That's one too many receivers for this team. So someone's getting cut. Like, I don't see this team going into the season with more than five receivers.
I hope they cut Josh Palmer.
Really? Because you cut Josh Palmer?
That's right.
They ain't going to cut Josh Palmer.
Nah, he's okay. I think Josh Palmer's exactly what we've seen.
He's
no
very,
more, no less.
He's very...
He's a possession receiver.
He's very Josh
school,
Reynolds
Frank?
To me.
USC.
Nice. No. Good guess, dude. You were close. Just on the complete opposite side of the country, dude. Yeah.
You were in the right country, bro.
You were in the right country, yeah. Dude.
Where'd
you
go?
Philemon.
Tennessee.
Thank
nice.
You.
He's evolved. So, I mean, I'm going to list Josh Palmer as the wide receiver one right now.
Nah, I think it's DJ Chark. I think we made a very interesting
is
point at the beginning of the, beginning of the show.
DJ Chark is definitely the
he's
number
probably
one.
The
There's
one,
no
dude.
One else.
He
dude.
Comes in. He's the one.
Palmer just seems like he's just more of a, I mean, first of all, he has more chemistry. He's the most
he just
chemistry
has the familiarity
than
there.
Justin
DJ
Herbert.
Chark came from Carolina, but he was at Jacksonville prior to that.
Dude,
no,
right?
he was
played with
in
like
Detroit.
Four teams, dude. Yeah, he was
he
with
was
Detroit.
In Detroit last year.
Mm. I think he was drafted by Jacksonville.
Okay, but he was a one there, so he. He could
he's
do it.
Technically kind of been a one
he
everywhere.
Could do it. Was he? Was he? I think he's been in the league so long. I think he
that's
was,
how bad this receiver room is.
I think he was there with Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson.
No, yeah. I think people
that's
more
right.
look at him as like, oh, this guy could be a one, but he never materialized
right.
to that.
And I think that's like what a lot of these just deep threat guys get. Like, oh, because all they do is make big plays.
Well, just this whole draft class,
yeah.
dude.
So everyone's like, oh, just if they just target them, then like, yeah,
another
he could
Gabe
be a one.
Davis.
Yes.
So Palmer, he's average at best. You know, when Mike Williams tore his ACL, he did average 4 catches, 70 yards. So he's looking at around 10 points a game for fantasy football. So serviceable. Ladd McConkey, we all love Ladd McConkey. We think he's a great fit for this team. He could easily become the Keenan Allen, which is what you want. Just the guy yep. that's peppered with targets, reliable, Justin Herbert's best friend. And if this kid could stay healthy, like, there's no reason why he should not become
the wide,
that
receiver, one.
The wide receiver one for this yeah. team.
I agree.
And then you talk about Quentin Johnson, arguably the biggest first-round bust.
I think it's too early to say that, man. I really do. It's 1 year.
I hope you're right, dude.
It's been 1 year.
But the guy showed us, like, literally nothing that made us seem like he was going to break out. And I do feel like his season is amplified by the drops that he had. And it wasn't the fact that he like dropped X amount of balls. It was like when he dropped the ball.
His season is amplified because everybody that got drafted around him saw immediate success. That's
yes,
why.
Yes. And that doesn't look good for him because I think there's only a handful of receivers. I think there's like 14 receivers in the past 10 years that were rookies and that ended up with over 1,000 yards. This year was Puka Nacua. Now, on top of that, though, all the other receivers that you just drafted, even though they didn't get over 1,000, they were all floating around like 800, 900.
Right.
And then there's Quentin Johnson, who I don't even know if he ended up with 100 total yards this
year. My point exactly, though, is that everybody else around him saw success. So he just looks even worse than what he looked like if a normal set of receivers would have came in, because I would consider last year's class talented. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he had some terrible drops, and I'm not trying to make excuses for that. All I'm saying is 1 year for a receiver and to call him a bust, a bit unfair.
He's a bust.
Can you call Bryce a bust?
After 1 year, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But so, and I agree with you. I do think it is a little too soon, but he's definitely. If
year
I'm
two?
A,
year two? If we're talking if about I'm the same a, shit, I'm out. 100%.
If I'm a betting man, like, he's definitely doing this.
Drops? Which is, receivers?
Who's no, he's main? Not. He's just done. He got drafted here and he just did this.
Receivers whose main problems are drops are usually the worst kind of receivers.
I agree.
Dude.
But that right. wasn't
so,
even.
That's very alarming to me because he had problems in college at that, and now that translates to the pros. Like a lot of them do, they translate the drops to the pros, and they don't last very long, bro.
But also a lot of
and now, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Now you're implementing an offense that focuses on the run. He's gonna get even less targets, dude. No, thank you on QJ, bro.
Oh no, we're not drafting QJ. No. Okay. All I'm saying is like, give the guy one more year.
Nah, I don't think I will.
And I also think that coaching goes a long way with receivers.
Coaching goes a long way. I think out of any sport in the league, coaching is the most
and I'll tell
influential
you what,
in the NFL.
We had the shittiest set of coaches I've ever seen on our team last year. Look at like,
or you guys are just the Chargers and you're
we're just
trash,
the Chargers.
Dude.
We can't raise talent, dude.
So Quinn Johnston's – so something that gets brought up a lot with Quinn Johnston that correlates to like – if he's a potential bust or not, is going to be yards per route run. So last season, he was ranked 89th amongst all the wideouts. To put that into perspective, Puka, out of the rookies, was 6th. Now, when you look at yards per route run and target share, he ended up with 0.92 yards per route run with a target share of 10.9%. He was a starting wide receiver for 12 games.
Explain what that means.
So, well, target share... And you talk about, like, yards per route run is exactly how it sounds. Like,
right.
So how far is he running based off all the routes that he's doing it? So they're basically saying – and then on top of that, you correlate the fact that he became, like, the wide receiver 2 on the offense, and he only saw a 10% target share. Mm. Where, like, most receivers, when you split it up, like, the Amon-Ra's will get, like, a 25 to 30%, and that wide receiver 2 will see about 20%. He only saw 10.9, which tells me – he was just getting his cardio in, and he was on the field with Justin Herbert, and Herbo was just not looking his way. So he didn't trust the guy. And when you look at some other receivers that had similar numbers to that rookie year, we're looking at Jalen Reagor, Josh Doctson, N'Keal Harry, J-Mo Williams, and then the only outlier here is going to be Mike Williams. Mike Williams actually had a 7.5% target share, but he ended up getting hurt that year. Now, QJ did score 2 touchdowns, but one was a 1-yard touchdown on a blown coverage, and then one was a 6-yard touchdown where he beat the guy, but we were already losing like 35-0.
Yeah, I don't really think that those stats apps indicate any type of success other than, yeah, they just were running on the field and the quarterback didn't look their way, so it's not his fault. Like,
I mean, but it tells me the fact that he's running on the field and he's not looking his way.
I mean.
10%.
But you're also – the sample size is all rookies. So quarterbacks that have been in the league don't tend to fucking lean on their rookies. So
right.
that's a hole right there.
Right. But
in
like
the statistic.
So
like,
but that's all you're comparing is like the rookies. So let's say and I don't
so
have
this
the numbers.
Is not like the best way to compare this is what you're saying.
Well, what I'm saying is like let's and I don't have the numbers in front of you, but sure. Let's say like a Jackson Smith and Jigba, right? Not an overly impressive rookie year. But I'm just spitballing. But maybe his target share was like 20%.
Sure,
something like that. We're like, okay, we're not calling him a bust yet. Like, or you know, Jordan Addison was this. Like his was so low, and then you're only comparing like rookies that were drafted in the first round over like X amount of years. Like sure. That's what they're saying. Like, okay, well when you look at how bad that number was, what are some other rookie receivers that were drafted in the first round that looked like that?
I think at this,
those are the names.
These numbers are a bit nitpicky, and I don't really think they lean much for
tell
the causation.
Tell us you're gonna draft Kyren top
causation
five again,
is what I'm saying.
I need you to put your money where your mouth.
Real quick, dude. D, when you
but I love the numbers, bro.
When you
love
mentioned Puka, here's a fun fact for you guys. So when I told you guys I was going back and looking back on previous rookie draft picks in Dynasty, you know where I got Puka, bro, in our draft.
The rookie draft?
Yep.
Was it the 5th round?
So our rookie draft is 5 rounds, 12 picks per round. I got Puka at the 5-10.
You're the man.
2 picks before the final pick, bro. So there's diamonds out in the rough there, boys. Go take Do your homework,
yourself
dude.
Some Joe Milton.
We'll do our best to, you know.
you could be a Jay and stock up on your fifth round picks, dude.
Yeah.
Because you might find a Puka.
You might. If you still have your rookie draft to look forward to, like we do in Jay's league, you know, do your homework, bro. You might hit on something.
Can we just get that draft started?
No, Jay's draft? No, are you talking about Jay's draft?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so ready. Well, that's the AFC West for you boys.
That's it.
We'll talk about another AFC team next week, and we got to figure out a day where I can paint these nails.
Oh, yeah. We got to get that taken care of.
All right. Late.
See ya.